That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you. I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, be with us now as we come to look at this passage in Corinthians. I pray that you will give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us this morning, Lord. And may we be challenged and encouraged by your word. Amen. So, how do you feel when a non-Christian asks you a question about God or the Bible? Do you go into a bit of a panic, particularly if it's a question you don't know the answer to or don't really understand what you're being asked? Do you lack confidence when talking about God? Perhaps you even feel a bit afraid of looking stupid or thick, afraid of not answering in the right way or giving people completely the wrong answer. Does that stop you from being open about your faith, make you reluctant to share the good news? My hope as we look at this passage today is that it will remind us that there is no need to be afraid to talk about God, that it challenges and encourages us to share our faith. I remember feeling quite surprised at being called to be a reader. I'm not academic, I'm not a theologian. I don't think I'm very wise and I'm not very clever with words. Why would God want someone like me to stand in front of a church and speak on his word? Surely there are much better qualified people to do that than me. This passage this morning was one I remember reading when I was working out whether I was being called to be a reader, or perhaps I was actually trying to find reasons why I shouldn't be one. And this passage made me realise that it didn't matter how smart or articulate I was. God doesn't just choose the clever, the academic, super intelligent and eloquent people. He chooses people who are the complete opposite, people like you and me. And for me, that was both a comfort and a challenge. A comfort because it made me realise that perhaps I could be a reader, and a challenge because it made me realise I couldn't use the excuse of, I'm not good enough, so I'm not going to bother. Rereading this passage and preparing for this sermon has reminded me again of that comfort and challenge. So let's keep that in mind as we look at this passage together and see how it can help us all deal with our fears and our anxieties when sharing our faith with others. Now, the passage starts with quite a bold statement from Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Looks like quite a put down, doesn't it? You're not wise, you're not influential, you're not of noble birth. But think about before you became a Christian. Did you have any special gifts or qualities that marked you out as an ideal candidate? If you're anything like me, then definitely not. Think about Christians you know. Are they particularly wise or influential? Even born to nobility? I suspect not. And yet we were called. God called us and we answered. We follow Jesus. God is not impressed by who we are or what we have done in this world. Thankfully, he's not impressed by our wit or intellect or our latest promotion or how much money we have. None of that has a bearing on whether God loves us or not. Who we are, where we come from, our background is completely irrelevant to God. But that isn't the main point that Paul is making to the Corinthians. What he's highlighting to them is one of their insecurities, and he's going to turn that into a strength, which we can learn from. The insecurity of the Corinthians is that they lived in a city that was prized the impressive, the powerful, the wealthy, the articulate, the beautiful, the erudite, and yet the church was seen as none of those. It was disappointingly ordinary and unimpressive. It wasn't any of those things that the non-Christians held up as important or as measures of success. And the Corinthian Christians were bothered by that. But notice the little word that Paul uses in this verse, called. Think of what you were when you were called. God called this unimpressive, ordinary church. He chose it on purpose. It's not an accident. It was God's plan. So if you're feeling that you're an unimpressive Christian, don't feel ashamed or worried. As we read on, we will see how that is an opportunity for us to boast in God. Verses 27 to 29, we see the sorts of people God chooses. He chose the foolish, the weak, the lowly. But why did he do that? Well, it was to show the world his power, to show the world his ability to transform people and transform lives. Paul goes on in verses 30 to 31. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Just before our passage in verses 22 to 24, it's highlighted that it is through Jesus' death on the cross that we have been saved. Christ crucified, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power that saves and the wisdom that transforms us from seemingly unimpressive into who we are as followers of Christ. It is through God's grace that we are transformed, and that grace is freely given. It has nothing to do with who we are or where we were born or what we achieve in this world. How incredible is that? We are saved because of Jesus and God's amazing grace in sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. Doesn't that make you want to just shout it from the rooftops? It's this knowledge, this certainty that gives us the courage to boast. But we need to be careful about what we boast about. Paul is taking the Corinthians to task for their behaviour. They've gone off on their own way. They seem to have forgotten what it means to be a Christian. There's disunity amongst them, with people following their favourite leaders rather than Jesus. And they boast about their own achievements and what they are doing, things in their own right, not to bring God glory. I love verse 31. Therefore it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Paul is reminding the Corinthians of what was written in Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, which reads, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Paul simply summarizes this as let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And the Corinthians will have known that longer verse he was referring to. But if you're like me, you may not. So I found it really helpful just to go back into the Old Testament and have a look at it in a bit more detail. Our boasting should be about our understanding that we know God, and that we know that God is kind, just, and righteous. This is the type of boasting that delights God. Our joy, our hope and rejoicing, is to exist only in the fact that we know the Lord. It's not about us and what we think we have achieved in the world. We do not glory in our own wisdom, might, or wealth. We need to recognise that everything we have comes from God. How we choose to live our lives. Do we live with honesty, integrity? Are our lives holy, that is, set apart for God, living according to his will? Do we know we are saved, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins? And if we know all that, do we tell others? Do we boast in the Lord? I know that can feel scary, and we might even feel foolish, but in the opening verses of the second chapter, Paul really helps us understand what it means to boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Paul didn't go to Corinth with superiority of speech and wisdom. He didn't take the things that the world values or promote himself like other preachers did. He brought one message, that of Jesus and him crucified. Paul was afraid, and he had a keen sense of his weakness. There's lots of evidence that seems to show that he wasn't a great public speaker. Apparently someone even died during one of his sermons. But even when the gospel is ridiculed, he doesn't stop. When he is challenged, thrown into prison even, he keeps preaching the very message that others ridiculed. That's Christ crucified for our sins. It surprises me when Paul admits he went to Corinth with fear and trembling. It's not how I imagine Paul. He comes across as such a strong person in how he deals with all the difficulties in his life and how wonderfully he spreads the good news. But here we're reminded that he was just a human, perhaps anxious about how the Corinthians would receive him and his message. And for me, that's a real encouragement. If someone like Paul felt fear in talking about God, then it's not surprising that someone like me feels it too. But Paul knew that in his weakness, God would be strong. The people of Corinth would listen to God's word, not Paul, the magnificent preacher. Paul wanted people to be persuaded by the truth, not by intellectual argument or theatrical emotional appeal. Mere intellectual persuasion does not save people. Saving faith is produced by the heart-changing power of the Holy Spirit as the gospel is proclaimed, however it is proclaimed. We come here on a Sunday to hear God's word preached, not to hear a particular preacher. It's one of the reasons we encourage you to have the passage open in front of you so that you can check for yourself that what we're saying is grounded in God's word. So that when we sometimes stumble over words or don't say things as clearly as perhaps we could, you can see what the Bible says. Now, please don't be sat there comfortably thinking, ah, this is great. It doesn't apply to me. I'm not a preacher. I don't have to worry about talking to God, people about God. Don't think that this passage is only relevant to people who preach from the pulpit. I think this passage is a great challenge for all of us in our everyday lives. Think back to that last verse in chapter 1. Let he who boasts, boast in the Lord. Then think about how Paul has shown us that even though he wasn't a great speaker, he boasted in the Lord. And that is our challenge today. When we are talking with people who aren't Christians, do we even acknowledge God in our lives? Let alone boast about him? Do we let people know that everything we have comes from God? When we're successful or something great happens, do we even stop to say thank you to God, knowing that it happened because of his love and grace? It's hard, isn't it? We might feel silly or stupid saying something came from God, but failing to boast in him means we are putting him down and raising ourselves up, claiming that what we have done or achieved, we have done in our own right, and not acknowledged all that God does for us in our lives. It's scary. We may feel fearful talking to friends and family who don't know Jesus about our faith. I know I don't find it easy, but over the years I've found the more I do it, the easier it gets. I've had some challenging conversations with friends over the years, and I can honestly say that whilst I'm not aware of them, any of them choosing to follow Jesus yet, I haven't lost their friendships, and they haven't stopped asking me questions. You'll have heard me say before that quite often these conversations happen over a glass of wine. And I have been known to nip to the loo and text a Christian friend to say, please pray, I'm having a God chat. And that gives me confidence that what I'm saying, however clumsily or inarticulately, God will use in some way. These verses are great. They give us reassurance that we don't need to be clever with words or be super intelligent. We don't even need to know it all. We simply have to share the good news. Share our testimony. That's your story of being a Christian. How God has helped you, how he is with you in our life. For me, the most helpful, the most real stories of being a Christian are rooted in people's lives, seeing how God has transformed someone. Personally, that's much more persuasive than an academic argument from a great theologian. In talking about how God is working in our lives, we are showing the Spirit's power, showing how our faith rests on God's power, not on human wisdom or our own strength. So next time you're with someone who isn't a Christian, take the opportunity to share your faith. Or if that's really too scary, invite them to come to St. Patrick's. You may have noticed Christmas is just around the corner. And it's a great opportunity to invite people to one of our Christmas services so they can hear the gospel for themselves. As David said earlier, it's a win situation. Come along to a carol service. And if you're not yet a Christian, talk to someone here who is. They'll be happy to share their story. And be reassured, if you feel that you're not good enough to be a Christian, that you aren't clever enough, don't have the right words to speak, I hope you hear what this passage is saying. None of that is important to God. All he wants is for us to know and accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, knowing that he died on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. This passage shows us, no matter how ill-equipped or unworthy we feel, we have been chosen by God, and we can boast in that. Through our weakness and inadequacies, God is strong. We don't need any special qualifications to be a Christian. The challenge is when we recognise this, we should boast to others what it is to be a Christian, how everything we have comes from God. So the challenge for all of us is to take those opportunities to share our faith. We have been chosen and called by God, and in that we should boast. We are called to share the good news, and although we may feel afraid, we only have to talk about Jesus and him crucified. Let God's Spirit do the rest. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that people come to faith, not our clever words or funny stories. And if you stumble over your words, if you feel that you could have said it better, then that's brilliant. Because if they become a Christian, everyone will know it's through the power of God and his Spirit in the gospel of his Son and not through our clever words. And in that, we should boast. We don't need to be fearful, and we can't hide behind the I'm not clever, intelligent enough arguments. We need to share the good news with people who don't know Jesus for themselves. And in sharing it, through our weakness and inadequacy, God will be strong. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we need no special qualifications to follow you, that it doesn't matter how inarticulate we may feel we are All we have to do is talk of Jesus and him crucified for our sins, and your Spirit will do the rest. Be with us, Lord, in the coming days to have the confidence to speak of you to those who do not yet know you. Christmas is the perfect time for lots of opportunities to talk about you. Help us boast of you in our lives and not to worry about what others think, but to rejoice in you and bring you glory in all we say, however clumsily we may say it. Amen.